As we go into your word this morning, we humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, so I will speak, Father, as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. I further ask the same unction and anointing upon me be upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present here, as well as those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely from you through me to your people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including mine, in particular, to cause our wills to, Father, to be more in, become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray as I speak that the power of the Holy Spirit released in great as well as in sufficient measure. Yes, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men to enable them to be doers of the things that they hear and are hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver this word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all is in agreement with me, receiving all the blessings I mentioned in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said. This morning we're going to continue our study in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to go in from, I think, from verse 12. In our last lesson, we saw the importance and the indispensable fact of the resurrection as it concerns our Christian faith. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the very bedrock of the Christian faith. No resurrection, no new birth, no faith, nothing. Without the resurrection, Christianity is just another religion. But the resurrection is the heart. And we said in our last lesson that the resurrection is a historical fact witnessed to by the apostles, and we brought out in great detail the apostle John in particular, all of them actually, but John in particular, because John saw his death. He was right there at the cross with his mother Mary. And then Jesus was raised from the dead. That was on Friday, on Sunday. Then he appeared firstly to Mary Magdalene. Then later on, he appeared to the 11 that evening. And then over the next 40 days, he was appearing to over 500 brethren, you know, and these are historical facts that have been recorded. Men have done research on these things over the centuries, and they found that all the facts are there. Even the Roman centurion, the historical facts, the fact that he appeared before Pontius Pilate, these are not just things that are inside the Bible, though they're in the Bible, and of course the Bible is accurate, but they have been proven, or rather researched, and found to be so. And then we said that the resurrection is also still true today. It is evidenced by the change, the supernatural change in the human heart and bodies of people who believe in him. So you and I, for example, over 2,000 years later, we're not there when Jesus was raised from the dead. But when we believe in our hearts and we accept him, that resurrection power that was wrought in him when he was raised from the dead becomes manifest in our own hearts, in our lives, in our bodies, you know? And that's the evidence. It's evidence that is, cannot be contested. Evidence that we see in not in one, not in two, in millions of people through the centuries and the millennia since Jesus was raised from the dead. And it's a wonderful fact that the resurrection is a reality that, you know, no honest person can contend or gainsay. Nations have been affected by faith in Jesus Christ. The destiny of nations in the last 2,000 years in particular have been shaped by either their acceptance or rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, as his resurrection power is either made manifest or denied in those particular nations and people groups. You know, this is particularly true, you know, of Germany and England. I was just thinking about, you know, about it some days ago. Look at Germany, you know, in spite of the fact of World War II and Adolf Hitler and a lot of bad things that have also happened in Germany, which also was a consequence of the church leaders rejecting this truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, after the Reformation. But even the fact of the Reformation, you know, has put Germany is still ahead of most nations in terms of, you know, economic, scientific development and everything. It's not an accident, you know. England, of course, is far ahead, you know, because why? Their leaders embraced the truth of the Bible, of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection, and it had a spillover effect on the nation and the peoples. What I am saying is this: the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is made manifest in the hearts, the bodies, the lives, the civilization of men and nations that embrace and accept that resurrection, that fact. It is a fact. Whether you accept it or not doesn't change it. But the effect of it is manifest in those that accept it. You know, and there's a big contrast between them and those who don't. And that's why it doesn't matter where you are in the world. Every time you write a date, you are attesting to the witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the year 2023, in the year of our Lord, whether it's your Lord is your business or not, but it's in the year of our Lord, amen. Because it's been 2023 years since he was born and he was raised from the dead, you know. And it's a historical fact, you know, that all the world, you know, attests to by writing a date. And God, in his wisdom and power, allow that to be so because the most powerful nations in the world that control the economy, that control what's going on in the world, are nations that have embraced this truth that Jesus was raised from the dead and are called, I know not every one of them is born again, but, you know, generally speaking, they in principle, they have accepted the reality of the birth of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they are the most powerful nations in the world, and all the other nations just line up. There was a time, England is particularly exemplifies this reality, you know, simply because of what the English kings did by accepting the Bible, you know, and by decree they made the Bible to be read in every church and proclaimed, and the truth of the resurrection. You know, I remember the Apostles' Creed. You know, we used to say when we're in school, you know, I went to CMS, you know, we believe, you know, in the Holy Trinity, in the resurrection of the dead. I don't remember everything offhand, you know. They've been saying that in England from the Reformation, you know, when they wrote the King James Bible, 1611. And it's been said like that for generations, hundreds, thousands of years, well, hundreds of years, you know, till today. It had a big effect. It catapulted England to become the most powerful nation in the world. A tiny country, not even as big as three or four states in Nigeria in terms of landmass, but became the most powerful nation in the world. Incidentally, I happen to be speaking in English this morning. That's another evidence. So many nations on the earth, the official language is English. And I want to, you know, all this is all the resurrection. See, people don't understand, you know, that's why I'm showing it to you, that it was the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the life and the power that sprung from that resurrection that has affected the souls, the bodies, the circumstances, the civilizations of men that are, you know, and that has made those who have accepted it, you know, has put them ahead of the rest of humanity to show that that resurrection power is real, you know. So hundreds, many nations in the world, the official language is English. I was thinking about it the other day, and I said, first of all, I always thank God that Nigeria was colonized by the British, not the French. See, France has never experienced a revival. They've had Christians, but not like England. You can see in the history of the two nations, England is way ahead. And the French don't want to agree, but the facts speak for themselves. And if you want an education, and you really want to understand, you know, deep phenomena, you need to know the English language. Because it's the first language in our own time, in the last 500 years, you know, that most truth and knowledge has come in. Then it's now translated to other languages. But England and Germany, to a smaller extent, you know, some of the original papers in quantum mechanics and, you know, and physics were German, some, but a lot more were in English. Today's present technology of the computer technology is all in English. Everything was done, original was in English. Every other language, you have to translate it. And so many scientists find that to really get it, many times, you have to go and learn English. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. All this is evidence of the resurrection. Evidence. We were not there, but we can see the effect of it. You can see the impact of it. So the resurrection is crucial. And then we also looked at the verse 10 where Paul said, I labored by grace. You know, and we explained grace is a favor of God. You can't work for it. That's why it's grace. It's unmerited. You can't earn the life of God. God gives it to you as a favor based on not what you do, but on the inclination of your heart. When you have an honest and a humble heart, that heart, not deeds, that heart inclination, that heart disposition, if you like, causes God's grace and mercy to flow to you, which causes a measure of eternal life to affect, you know, you either, if it's mercy, it's from the outside, if it's grace through Jesus Christ, it's from the inside. And that's what enables you now to labor. So Paul said, I yet not I. Paul is very accurate by the Holy Spirit. I yet not I labored more than they all, but the grace which was of the Lord which was with me. And I explained to us, everything we do in the Christian life is by grace. You pray is by grace. You read your Bible is by grace. You do righteousness, you do the right thing is by grace. Everything, you know, and that is why the Christian who is going to get ahead, I just got a text. The Christian who is going to get ahead and stay ahead. I haven't said it like that before. The Christian who is going to get ahead and stay ahead must maintain and increase a humble heart. Because The thing that got you ahead in the first place is going to be grace. And then that's going to keep you ahead is going to be grace. But and grace is a continuous thing. It's a favor, you know. And God gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to those who understand that they did not make themselves. As David said in one of the Psalms, he said, it is... We worship the Lord our Maker, Psalm 100 or somewhere there. You know, it is He who made us, not we ourselves. It's obvious, but you know, most men don't live as if somebody made them. They live as if they made themselves. Arrogance to of foolishness and stupidity. You know, stupid arrogance. You didn't make yourself. Where did you come from? As long as that I evolved. From where? Well, how did you evolve? You are first of all an amoeba. How stupid. You know, you are just one tiny microorganism. Then the microorganism now multiplied, and then you became a tadpole. You became a frog. Then you had a tail. You see how stupid evolution is, you know. And then after some time, your tail disappeared, you know, and then you started leaping. Then after some time, you know, you started crawling on the floor. Then you became a monkey. Then from a monkey, you became a gorilla. Then from a gorilla, you now started walking upright. And then you became a man. Foolish people. Stupid people. And I say that without any apology. Complete foolishness. That's evolution. Stupid. Well, I'm going to ask you a very simple question to cut out all the logic from under your head. Where did the organism come from? And the chemical, all those ones that came, you know, how, where did they come from? Then how did they start to multiply and to change and to evolve? They just did it by themselves. It doesn't matter which way you cut it. You come back to God. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering. As how foolish anybody who believes in evolution is. You know, and he tells me you're dishonest. There's some scriptures that have been, you know, coming to me. I mean, I've always been preaching there, but, you know, it says, for the invisible things of him. You know, that's the scripture I got born again on. Looking back, at the time, of course, I didn't know the Bible, you know. I was doing my youth call, and I just read the Bible, and then I didn't understand a lot of the Old Testament. I just jumped. I joined New Testament. I like Jesus in the four Gospels. He wasn't the SU that I had been told. The SUs told us, you know, but Jesus was a hippie. Amen. Jesus had long hair, and Jesus, he drank wine, and Jesus was an easygoing guy. You know, seriously, Jesus was a nice person. For the first time in my life, because I'd done Bible study before, Bible knowledge, I just did it to pass exams, you know, but I never thought of it. And then, I mean, it was just Luke, you know, we did to pass WAEC exams. But now, for the first time, I now read the whole thing from Matthew, you know, through John. I said, Jesus, he doesn't look like the SUSO. Doesn't look like them at all. The guy uses perfume. Yes. I said, they've sold us a dud. These people are not like, they're not anything like Jesus. Then from there, I moved to the epistles. And then I read Paul. You know, the logic, maybe because of my training, you know, as a physicist, the logic is irrefutable. Unless you're dishonest. He said, that which may be known of God is in them. For God has shown it to them. How? For the invisible things of him, by the creation of the world, everybody scream it clearly. Oh, you didn't say it properly. Clearly. In other words, you don't have any excuse. Then, you know, something is hidden in the corner. He said, they are clearly seen. And you know what scripture says? So that they are without excuse. That thing hit my heart. That's how I got born again. And then, it's me. He said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. I said, this guy has got my number. Yes. I got born right there in my room in my youth call. Just that script, those scriptures. He said they were neither thankful. Then their foolish heart became darkened. They are full of envy. Then he began to name all those sins. You will find one there. You may escape one, you'll find another one there. They didn't catch you. I got born again. Quick! Quick! And I've been like that by the grace and the mercy of God since. It's not just me, it's everybody, you know. It's the truth, you know. Heavens declare the glory of God. Look at the planets moving in mathematical orbits with precision, elliptical, not circular. You know, many of you didn't do maths. You don't know what an ellipse is. Yeah. Ellipse is a circle that is bent out of shape. You squeeze it. You know, so instead of the circle to be round like this, you squeeze it a little bit. So it's a little, you know, it's like an egg. And when the planets, when they go round, they cover equal areas in equal times. Discovered by a guy called Kepler. Then later on, Isaac Newton picked that up. You know, and then brought out the laws of gravitation. Oh, don't let me go there. Then you tell me that there is no God. You will go to hell. Not you. I'm saying, yes. The people who reject the obvious knowledge of God that is shown through creation. That won't get you saved. But it will let you know that there is a creator. Then, when in your heart, you now begin to seek him, he says, you seek me with all your heart, then you will find him. But once you reject that one that is going to lead you to that one, you are on your road to hell. And the Bible tells us, it says that in the day when God will judge the secrets of men's hearts, according to my gospel, where at the great white throne judgment, the books will be opened, including the book of Romans. And then the book of, you know, everything is going on in your heart is being recorded. Oh, yes. The closed circuit television follows you everywhere. Yes. Seriously. Spiritual CCTV is there. Every thought is recorded. What God did is recorded. What the Holy Ghost did is recorded. Everything in your circumstances, they will all play it back. There is no lie about it. So you say, the invisible, so you didn't see the heavens. Or you didn't see your physical body. Or for those who are living in the 21st century, you didn't hear about DNA. Or you didn't hear about Israel. How God preserved them for thousands of years and then brought them back to, you know, the land of Israel. And today, Israel is a technological powerhouse. So you didn't know all of that, you will go to hell. Yes. I'm not saying you will. I'm saying people who... It's true. He said that the wrath of God from heaven against all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth. They know. So when I look at some of these people, I see them every day on television and all of that, you know, I just shake my head. I say, who are you fooling? Who are you fooling? You know, you just decided and one day you will give account. Of course, I don't want anybody to go to hell. That's not my desire. But, you know, I, but the grace of God, which is me, daily by the grace and the mercy of God, I'm becoming more like God. So I know how he feels. You know, God hates dishonesty and pride. And as I say, he's angry. He says, it's in one of the Psalms, you know, He says that all nations that forget God, he says he's going to dump them in hell. Doesn't want them to go, but they choose to go by the choice that they make. So the resurrection is a fact. Glory. Let's give the Lord another clap offering. Hallelujah. And don't join these bad boys, you know, who will see obvious truth and deny it. And so we labor, everything we do in the Christian life, we do it by the grace of God, which is the favor of God that comes not as a favor, that's why it's unmerited. It's not given because of what you have done. It's given because of your heart. When you now receive it, you will now be able to do good things. I'm going to repeat it because people miss it. Grace is, that's why it's unmerited. It's given because of the disposition of the human heart. When it is now received and mercy, it cannot enable you to do the good that that heart disposition has. But you are not rewarded because of the good that you did. Otherwise, it will no longer be grace. I will repeat it. You know why? It's going ahead of many people because most people don't think deeply. Grace and mercy is given for only one reason: honesty and humility of heart, the heart condition. When it is now received, it can enable you to do good things. God will reward you for the good things you do in heaven, but you're not saved because of the good things. You are saved because of your heart. That's why it is by grace you are saved, through faith, which is a disposition of the heart. If you don't understand that, you don't understand Christianity. Christianity begins, its foundation is at the heart disposition. That is why, if after you get born again, oh, I don't know if we're going to get there today. If you don't, maybe it's on Wednesday when I do School of Perfection. I just mentioned it now, you know, but we're going to repeat it on Wednesday. Why would Jesus say the centurion had a greater faith than all Israel, including Peter, James, and John? You know, Jesus doesn't, he's not like you. He doesn't just open his mouth and talk. He said, I have not found so great faith. No, not in all, including the boys. Heart. That man had a deeper understanding of spiritual things than the Jews who had the Bible. He said, I also am a man under authority. I said to this one, he goes. I said to that one, he comes. He said, you don't need to come to my house. Just speak the word only. Ah! The guy said, Jesus, marvel. Jesus said, what? But how did the centurion get that? He didn't know the Bible. He wasn't a Jew, yet he had faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But he didn't have the word of God. So he must have had the word of God. How? The heart. For the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things that are written, the things that are written inside. He didn't have the law. But because of his heart, the law, the word, was written in his heart. So it was that law that was in his heart that gave him faith. Come on Wednesday to get highlights. That's just, you know, coming attractions. Praise the Lord. Unbeliever! And you know, there are many centurions on the earth today like him who have more faith than the born-again Christian who comes to church and carries his Bible because he has a more honest heart. So God, the law, which have not the law, have the law written. They know the law better than the Christian who is carrying his Bible around because of the honesty of his heart. And it is God who wrote that law there. A clap offering for the Lord. Let's go back to our Bible study. Verse 12. Mm-hmm. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Can you imagine? Born again. You've been born again. You know, that's why I said, get ahead and stay ahead. See, what gets you born again is your state of your heart, like I said, honesty and humility. But after you get born again, if you don't maintain an increase, which many Christians don't, because this thing is not taught and it's not emphasized. In the last many years, you know, of our ministry, I have made a strong emphasis on honesty and humility. And you know, a lot of people don't like it. I've heard people comment and say, you people are humility every day, humility. You just want people to be submitted to you so you can control them. There is nothing further from the truth. It is humility that's going to give you more grace and cause you to grow in your Christian life. And most people, because of pride and dishonesty, they block, you know, increasing grace. The Bible says grow in grace. So it means I can be stunted in grace. So that's why they don't progress. And because they're not taught the importance of keeping a humble and an honest heart on a consistent basis, the degree or the measure of the grace and the mercy of God in their lives doesn't increase. Sometimes even reduced because they become more proud. So instead of progressing, they retrogress. They may say all the right words and have all the, you know, but the heart. And that's a difference. How can somebody who is born again say that there's no resurrection from the dead? It means his heart had become blocked. And what he originally believed, he doesn't understand. And sadly, that's still the case till today. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you? Imagine that there is no resurrection of the dead. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. And your faith is also vain. Yea, we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. This is a lawyer talking. Look at the logic. Are you listening to me? If the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain and you are yet in your sins. You don't understand what you're talking about. And then they also, which are fallen asleep in Christ, are perished. In other words, if there's no resurrection of the dead, it means everything we get is only in this life. And once you die, that's the end of everything. Then he brings that great statement, which I have preached and preach, and I will continue to preach it to our faith brethren. It is very sad what has happened with the faith message. And I am a strong, I met one guy, you know, he used to come scripture pastor. He's now the head of Rhema Bible Church. You know, they have Rhema in Nigeria. He's doing a great job. One of my spiritual sons. So recently, you know, some months ago in 2022, I met him in the airport. You know, so we're talking about Brother Hagen and, you know, and everything. So I say to him jokingly, but also in reality, I said, none of you can be more Kenneth Hagin than me. Yes. I said, none of you can be more word of faith than me. He said, Pastor Olubi, I know. I said, we're the people who, I sat under Kenneth Hagin. I read practically all his books. Then I sat under him when I went in 1981 for about 2 months. I was going to Rhema every day, you know. By the grace and the mercy of God. They did injustice to that man. Hagen's primary message is not even faith, it's love. Unless you don't know him properly. Yeah. Hagen will tell you, you know, faith worketh by love. Faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. And towards the end of his life, this is a true story. This guy, Tokunbo, his name is Tokunbo Ajumo. You know, he's in Abuja. He's one of the top Rema guys in Nigeria. And he'll be hearing me now, something I can say publicly. You know, and others, you know, would tell you this is a true story. I was not there, but I heard the story. Towards the end, Kenneth Hagin called all his sons. I'm talking about spiritual now. Not only Ken Jr., but, you know, Copeland, Creflo Dollar, and others. You know, I don't know all of them. And said, guys, we have overemphasized this material thing. And we need to recalibrate. I'm just paraphrasing. He may not have used those exact words. And there was a particular practice at that time. I saw it. I saw it when I first went for Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting in 1980. I was there. I actually saw it. Oral Roberts was there. T.L. Osborne was in the meeting. It was one evening, one of the evenings, maybe Wednesday evening or something. And Brother Hagin was preaching, if I remember rightly. And I think it was Oral Roberts. He was doing this City of Faith, Oral Roberts University. So they were going to do this hospital, you know, part of the Oral Roberts University. So they were needed money. Let's just leave it like that. So people started doing something that night. I've never forgotten it. People started taking money and putting it on the stage. You know, on the. So as I'm preaching now, don't do it too. Pastor Obega, you know, God just speak to him. You come and put 10,000. And Pastor Roda too. Blessed. So people started doing it. I believe that particular night it was led by the Spirit. So a lot of money was put down. So, you know. And I think, if I'm not right, the tapes are there anyway. You can check me out. You know, Oral Roberts said in order for them to finish that project, that he was going to sow, I think, $1 million or something, you know, into Kenneth Hagin Ministries. So, you know, as a seed faith for them to be able to finish the hospital, you know, Oral Roberts University. That's all right. You know, and, you know, there's a lot of joy and all of that. But after that, he goes, look, those kind of things, maybe the Holy Spirit can do it once. Then you now make it a doctrine, or if not a doctrine, a practice. Then people started, then it now led to covetous. Anyway, Ken Hagin now told them, he said, they should stop it. Told them! All of them. He said, we've gone off. This is what Paul is saying here. If in this life, if my Christianity and my faith is just to get a big car, a big house, build a big school, all these things, I have them. You know, and do that. If that's all, I'm of all men most miserable. Because there are many people who are not born again that have better cars, better houses, bigger schools, bigger universities. And if everything ends here, then I'm just a fool. I'm of all men most miserable. I wish every faith person can hear what I'm saying. Christianity and the measure of faith is not measured by the amount of material things that you have. I just got a text. It's determined by the measure of resurrection power that is inside your life. That's the real thing. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of the material things that he has. Of what then does it consist? If it is not of the material things, of what then? It consists of the measure, the amount. We're going to see that as we continue this Bible study this morning before I finish. You know, and we'll take it next week. It consists of the amount or the measure of the life of God that comes from the resurrection of Jesus Christ that is deposited inside that man's spirit, soul, and body, and the character of God that that life has helped him to develop. That is the true riches. That is true Christianity. So if you have faith, and you have a car, and you have a big house, and you have land, and you have a private jet, but you don't have an appreciable measure of the life, the resurrection life and power of God, and the character of God, you are to be pitied. You are a very poor man. You don't know anything. Sadly, Pastor G, this truth of the resurrection is not preached. Hardly. You don't hear messages about these kind of things again. All you hear is breakthrough. Hello? Visa? Miracle. And all the miracle is all physical. Wife, children. The same thing the Gentiles are looking for. People are not. Look, yesterday, one of my cousins came over to greet us. You know, she's a pastor too. You know, her children took him to life. She's like my senior sister. She's about 2 years older than me. So she, me, and Mom Sarah, and so, you know, all talking. Deji. Family Lucy and his brother from America is around. I'm sure he was probably in church, you know. And, you know, we're just, you know, talking and all of that. And this thing about the church, Christianity is not, it's not just for the material and the physical. If everything is only physical and material, we are of all men most miserable. So my cousin said this. We're talking about some people, you know. And she said, see, the Gentiles, they're seeking for something. They're seeking for the material, okay? Gentile wants a big house, fine wife, or wives in plural. you know? Yes. Children? Yes, these are the things that people in the world value. So, you know, the people who are not born again or who are born again and don't know who they are, which sadly are many. Do you understand? If they can't get it from God, they get it from the devil. That's why you find Christians going to babalawos, going to witch doctors, even pastors, looking for power so that they can be healed. So, you know, the wife can have children. You know, so my sister said it this way. She said in Yoruba, "Tiwo balolong walati leshu." I'll translate. If they don't have God, then they have to have the devil. Oh, yes. And that was pushing many Christians become like Saul. Don't forget, Saul started with God. But how did he wind up in the house of a witch? Because God will no longer answer him, neither by prophets, nor by dreams, nor by visions, nor by Urim or Thurim. Because Pastor G watched this of his heart. Stubbornness, rebellion, had cut off the grace source. But he still needed power. So he knew he couldn't get it from God anymore. So he patronized Satan. Sadly, regrettably, there are many souls in the church, both pastors and leaders and followers. Yeah. So Satan is accommodating them. This resurrection thing is not, you can't play with it all. It's the very heart of Christianity. Let's see how far I can go in the next 5 minutes. Even this life only, we have hope in Christ. We are of all men most miserable. See, the unbeliever hasn't got a, he has conscience, but he's seared his conscience. Doesn't listen to it. The unbeliever, you cannot compete with the unbeliever in this world. If you put God out of the picture, you can't compete with them. He will lie, he will cheat, he will get all those things more than you. Faster than you. And better than you. So you are miserable. If that's all it's all about. But that's not what it's all about. Oh, thank you, Pastor Clem. Most of it is not about those. It's about the world to come. My life is... this morning, my wife and I, we got up early. As normally, you know, 3 o'clock, 3:30, we were up. You know, as I was just, you know, going to my study to go and pray, you know, I just looked at my wife and I was just thanking God. I said, look at both of us at 60 something years, getting up, laboring, praying. I said, what are we doing this for? We already have house. Tinko. And about Monuro. These thoughts come to me this morning. We have, at least, we're not rich, but at least we're not hungry. We have house. It's true. I have a nice house. We have a nice car. Hello? We have children. We have grandchildren. All the things people are, you know, hustling for. Then why are we doing all of this? There's only one answer. That we may obtain a better resurrection. Give the Lord a clap offering. Why am I doing it? If car and house and material things are the reason for my faith, I am of all men most miserable. Let every faith preacher say, Olubi Johnson said so. You are of all men most miserable. If all your faith is for material things, you are a big fool. And if you're not careful, you will wind up in hell. Like Saul. It will destroy your faith. Yes, God wants us to have material things, but that's not the purpose and the goal of our faith. The goal of my faith is the salvation of my soul. The salvation of my mind, my will, my emotions to become like God. Hallelujah. That's the reason. To have the life of God manifest in my mortal flesh. So I can be a blessing to humanity. And that is important in itself. But more importantly, that I might have a glorious resurrection. That's the reason why I'm doing everything I'm doing. That's why Paul was doing what he was doing. Paul said, you think I'm mad? You think me and Barnabas, you think we are crazy? Don't we have power to marry a girl and lead about a sister? Like Peter? Oh, for all good Peter. That's why they were angry with him.
like Peter and the bread. That's James. Jesus' junior brother, the one immediately after him, who wrote the book of James. And the brethren of the Lord of all. You think
I don't know what? You think I don't know fine woman? I don't know what it is to have fine clothes or something. He said, no, I've seen something beyond that. Give the Apostle Paul a super clap offering.
And he wasn't preaching. He wasn't preaching against getting married or anything. No. You see, the thing about it is that all of... I think I have to stop with this, on this verse. We will take the rest from next week. If in this life only... If it is the things of this life only that we have, he said, we have all men most reasonable. Paul saw through it. And when you see through it, you will hold the things of this life lightly. You will have them. God blesses you with them. But they will not be very heavy with you in terms of priority and your heart. If they still are, you haven't yet seen the resurrection properly. And that is why the apostle prayed the prayer for the Ephesians. They were already born again, spirit-filled. He said that may God the Father give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Watch this, Pastor William. In the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know three things. One, and all of them are really one thing, but different aspects of the same thing. One, the hope of his calling, which is to be conformed to the image of Jesus in this lifetime. The riches of the glory of his inheritance, it says, the wisdom that is going to get you the spirit without measure. Olubi Johnson, I'm giving you now the paraphrase. I'm giving you the kokoro, the thing that is at the bottom. Are you listening to it? And then the resurrection power, which he wrought in Christ. When you raise them. If you don't know that thing, you don't know anything. That's why he prayed that prayer for them. With the rot in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, Paul had that. Thank you, Pastor Tunisia. And set him at his right hand in the heavenly places. And you know what? You are right there next to him. And you. I said, let's give Paul a super clap offering. Baba Paul. You know what I said? He says, and we are set together with him in heavenly places. If you can see that, then the things of this life, you are here, yes, and you have to eat. You have to. He said, the Father knows where you have need of these things. He said, having food and raiment, let us wear. I'm not going to let food and raiment hinder my resurrection. That's what he was saying. Let us be content. Once I have the basics, I have food, I have raiment, you know, I can, you know, so that I can be physically alive and do the things that are comfortable to be able to pray and all that. My real goal is not food and raiment. My real goal is not material things. My real goal is my resurrection. A clap offering for the Lord. Change your mentality. I said I'm going to close. I will close. Stand to your feet. Tell your neighbor, say, don't miss next week. Let's just leave it like that. You know, because next week we're going to talk about resurrection proper. All this one is introduction. Are you listening to me? We need to wake up. I don't know who I said this to. I said it recently, you know, but I said to somebody. I was sharing. The only thing you're going to leave this planet with, whether you die by the grave, that is, you are buried and then you're raised, or by the rapture, whichever it is, you die. You know, it's just that one death is just in a twinkling of an eye and then you change and resurrect immediately if you don't die physically and you are buried. So whichever way you die, the only thing you're going to leave the planet with is the life of God that is inside your spirit, and the character of God that is in your soul. I'll repeat. The only thing you're going to leave this planet with is the life of God that is inside your spirit,
Recently, God was speaking to me. He said, you know, every day you do life scriptures. He said, you're not wasting your time, mo. He said, don't mind them. They don't understand. In Jesus' name, I have life. They make fun of it. They will laugh on the other side of their faces. That is a word. And it will happen in this generation and at the resurrection. In Jesus' name, I have life. They're laughing at it. That's what they criticize us for life scriptures. They criticize us for groaning. They don't know anything. The life of God. When you say, in Jesus' name, I have life. And the reason I taught us in school, say, I have more life. Why am I getting more life? Why am I getting more power? To do miracles, yes. But that's not, that's just a part of the story. The main part of it, God told me, he said, there are four things. I didn't plan to say this more, but I'm going to say it now just before I close. Four things. The more of the life of God you get, and the power of God you get in the inner man. Four things. Number one, is going to increase your internal spiritual capacity. That is the measure of the life of God that is inside you. We keep increasing. So even with one word, you can create a planet. A solar system, a galaxy. Neko frenega shalabra. Are you not gods? Koyewani, they don't know who they are. Number two, it will increase the strength of your spirit. I always say this, when you are groaning, and when you say, the power of God that comes out of your mouth, there is volume and there is force. See, one person says, another person, the same will drive 1,000 demons and saturate a city like Ibadan. And one person, it will only have effect in this room. It's just volume and force. The third thing is that life and the power of God that you put inside is being used to increase the character of God that you have. Will more humble, mind more enlightened, the emotions controlled by the fruit of the Spirit. Then the fourth one. This is another message I'm preparing. Don't your neighbor say, don't misjudge. I did a little bit of it, but I have a more advanced message now. It will increase your sagacity. The mind of Christ. Those are the true riches. Those are the true riches. Those are the things you will leave the planet with. The car is not going with you. The house is not going with you. The children, incidentally, are not going with you. Your job with those children is to teach them to have the same thing you have. Because the day we are going, you can't carry any child with you. The wife will not live with you. The husband will not live with you. Wake up to the reality of the resurrection. Talk to God. Olorun ajoye wa o. Amin lara mi e o. Olorun ajoye wa o. You know the way we live many times, we don't live like ento yewa. I have a song in my heart. BDB, I'm sure you know this song. In Christ alone. I think it's not, you know, there are two of them. In Christ alone, I place my trust. He is my light, my strength.
Oh, what a song!
This cornerstone.
Oh, yes.
Solid ground. Firm through the fairest dark and storm.
What heights of love!
What heights of love!
Oh, sing it!
What depths of peace when fears are stilled, when strife and cease. My comforter, my all in all.
Here
in the love of Christ, I stand.
The next verse.
Alone, who to confess fullness of God is helpless pain.
This gift of love.
This gift of love. And righteousness strong by the ones he came to save.
Oh, sing it.
Till on the cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied.
For every sin,
on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ, I live.
The next verse.
Here in the crown, his body lay. Light of the world, my darkness slain.
Hallelujah!
Bursting forth in glorious day. Up from the grave he rose.
Oh, hallelujah.
And thus he stands in victory. Since Christ has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine. Fraught with the precious blood of Christ.
The last verse.
No guilt can lie. No fear in death. Here in the power of Christ in me.
From life's first cry
to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny.
Oh, sing it!
No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever plot from his hand till he returns and calls me home. Here in the power of Christ,
the chorus. No power of hell,
no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns.
Here
in the power of Christ.
Put one hand on your heart. Raise your other hand to God. Put the reality and the truth of the resurrection at the top priority of your Christian life. Do it now. We're going to pray. Because that's what it is. It's more important than all the other blessings and all that. Or we'll get depressed when they don't get one material blessing or the other. Are you going to take it with you? Are you going to take it with you? You're not taking anything from this planet. You're not taking anything. Paul. You know what he said? He said, naked we came. And said, surely we're not. See, when you don't have a revelation of the resurrection, like I'm preaching it to you, you overvalue material things. I didn't say they don't have value. I said overvalue. When you understand, you put it in his right perspective, then
your all your life, your heart, your motivation will be to seek the kingdom first. Then you know that all these other things, they're just jara. They'll just be added on the side. It's just to make the journey smoother and, you know, so that you can do the work better, you know. But yeah, your heart should not be in them. You'll be able to lose them like that. No power of hell. One more time.
No power of hell. No scheme of man can ever blow him from his
till he returns.
Till he returns. Who calls me home?
Here.
Feeling the power of mine. I'll stand.
Father, we come in Jesus' name. Raise that hand. Say, Lord, have mercy on us. So receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray. Father, we thank you for the truth of the resurrection. Oh God, have mercy on me. Let me see it more clearly. Enlighten the eyes of my understanding so I will know the power that you wrought when you raised Jesus from the dead and so raised me up also to sit at his right hand in the heavenly places. Lord, let me live from a heavenly perspective, for our conversation is in heaven. Oh God, help me see it. Let it not just be doctrine or cliche, but Lord, let it be reality that I live, that in every day of my life, that motivates and directs my decisions, my actions. Let the truth, the reality of the resurrection, let it motivate me. Let me live every day striving for the best possible resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. Lo prikito fridingas, ne reketo fre, la prikito fridis, frenga la mashaki koko fre, nembra gagla matulo mashtu fresh, o pridia, ha, Father, thank you za la breketo sko fre, Lord Jesus, thank you la breketo lo matu frenes, Holy Spirit, thank you, lembreketo lo matu fresh, nombri di ko fresh, thank you for your blood la breketo sko fridis, thank you for your life rega, lembreketo lo mashe. Your power into our wills, our minds, our emotions, our bodies, our circumstances, our regional heavenlies, in sufficient measure. Renenga tulumantu fre. Lambre dusku fridi. Lambre dusku fride. Lambre. In this regard. Nerea. Sheki. French. Tu fride. Lambre duska. In Jesus' name. If you need healing, just raise your hand. If you are at home, stretch your hand towards your device, your phone, your computer, whatever it is that you're using to listen. Father, we release the healing power. It's already in the air. You send your word and heal them and deliver them from their destructions. We send healing power into their bodies to effect a healing and a cure. We cast out the spirits of infirmity, of doubt, of fear, of oppression, of depression. Destroy your works therein. Resist and we bind you. We set you free in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering.
Just behold, here is the power of Christ.
No power of hell, one more time.
No power of hell, no scheme of a man can ever blot him from his hand.
Till he returns, all
calls me home, here is the power of
In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name, amen.